This is the Indo-Pacific Debrief by Atlas News. Hello and welcome to the Indo-Pacific Debrief by Atlas News. We've got a lot to cover, so let's begin. Our first story starts in China. On January 31st, Dong offered verbal support to Russia on the Ukrainian issue, without specifying its nature. This echoes a similar statement by then-Chairman Li Jianxu in September 2022. Highlighting China's careful wording to retain diplomatic wiggle room. Analysts suggest Russia desperately desires stronger Chinese backing, hoping to extend it beyond diplomacy to direct material support. Meanwhile, the West aims to isolate Russia and mend ties with China, tempting them away from their ambiguous stance. Russia's recent military setbacks and mounting losses likely fueled their push for deeper Chinese commitment. They require increased support to sustain winter operations and replenish depleted resources. Worried about China potentially shifting focus towards the West, Russia strategically released the video call. They hope to deter any potential rapprochement between China and the West that could impact their crucial economic lifeline. While endorsing Russia, Dong subtly reminded them of the cost of closer ties, strained relations with Europe and the US. This suggests China views their partnership as pragmatic, not ideological, and warns against pushing for a full-blown alliance against the West. The call leaves key questions unanswered. Will China increase its support for Russia? Will they compromise their ties with the West to do so? Analysts suggest China will likely maintain its balanced approach, seeking a peaceful resolution while preserving economic ties with both sides. But with the conflict dragging on, and Russia's desperation growing, pressure on China's neutrality might intensify. This complex diplomatic dance is far from over, and its outcome could significantly impact the future of the Ukrainian conflict and the global power landscape. Stay tuned for further updates as this intricate saga unfolds. Next, China's Ministry of State Security, MSS, is brewing trouble, but not the kind you'd expect. Their recent WeChat posts offer a peek into the simmering anxieties surrounding the Chinese economy, using cryptic cups of tea and veiled warnings to silence dissent. The January post titled Take My Advice outlines 10 cups of tea, euphemisms for potential investigations related to national security breaches. These range from leaking classified information to failing to implement counterespionage measures. But two cups stand out, targeting individuals holding state secrets or engaging in acts that endanger national security, even without traditional espionage. This broader definition hints at the government's growing concern about economic woes fueling discontent. December's post emphasizes high-quality development with high-level security, stressing the need to balance economic growth with national security. It acknowledges clichés criticizing the economy, hinting at efforts to control narratives and quell dissent. The posts reveal the government's attempt to use the MSS as a shield against economic criticism. Deleting posts and issuing warnings are temporary measures. Chinese citizens are finding creative ways to vent their frustrations, hijacking seemingly unrelated posts on foreign embassies' pages to express their discontent. These online expressions hint at a deeper unease. Some perceive the declining economy as a breach of the unspoken social contract with the CCP, absolute control in exchange for economic prosperity. This simmering discontent could pose a significant challenge to the government's stability. China faces a delicate balancing act. Silencing dissent might offer a temporary solution, but it risks fueling further frustration. Addressing the root causes of economic anxieties and fostering open dialogue could prove more sustainable in the long run. Next, it has been 1 year since New Zealand pilot Philip Mertens was taken hostage by the West Papua National Liberation Army, TPNPB. This complex situation, rooted in a decades-long struggle for independence, has taken dramatic turns with shifting demands, failed rescues, and a glimmer of hope emerging recently. Mertens, flying a small passenger plane in a remote Papuan village, was abducted on February 7, 2023. The TPNPB, seeking Papuan independence, initially demanded Indonesia recognize it as a condition for his release. Negotiations and rescue attempts followed, including failed military operations and stalled talks, due to leader Igianis Kogoya's demands for weapons, money, and international recognition. The TPNPB shifted its stance, dropping the independence demand and stating Mertens was not our enemy, However, Kogoya continued escalating threats, demanding negotiations within 2 months on independence or facing Mertens' execution. Deadlines passed, raising tensions but not leading to harm. Marking a potential turning point, the central TPNPB leadership recently announced their intention to release Mertens, citing humanitarian concerns and ordering Kogoya to comply. This internal division highlights the complex factions within the TPNPB and raises questions about Kogoya's adherence. The Free Papua Movement, OPM, with the TPNPB as its armed wing, has fought for independence since the 1960s. They view Indonesian control as colonializing and threatening their culture and resources. Raids, ambushes, and kidnappings are their tactics to gain attention and leverage. While Mertens' release seems more likely with senior leadership intervention, Kogoya's defiance cannot be ignored. Even if released, deeper issues remain unresolved. The OPM's struggle for independence continues, highlighting the need for addressing their concerns for self-determination, cultural preservation, and resource management. Now, our next story. On February 6th, India announced the construction of a fence along its entire 1,643-kilometer border with Myanmar. This ambitious project raises questions about security concerns, regional relations, and potential consequences for bordering communities. India's Home Minister, Amit Shah, justified the fence as a necessity to strengthen border security and prevent unauthorized personnel from entering. This includes concerns over individuals exploiting the 2018 Free Movement Regime, FMR, agreement, and the influx of refugees, anti-junta rebels, and military personnel fleeing Myanmar's escalating conflict. Additionally, the fence aims to curb the activities of ethnic militants crossing the border. While security concerns are a primary driver, the project has wider implications. Terminating the FMR agreement, currently under consideration, might exacerbate tensions between the Meitei and Kuki communities. The Meitei, largely Hindu and aligned with the BJP-led government, may perceive the fence and FMR termination as favoring them over the Christian-majority Kuki. Past instances of perceived religious bias by the government fuel these concerns. The fence project highlights the complex dynamics between India and Myanmar. While addressing immediate security concerns is crucial, neglecting the underlying issues could foster long-term problems. Addressing the root causes of the Myanmar conflict, fostering inter-community dialogue, and finding alternative solutions for refugee inflows and illegal immigration are critical for sustainable peace and stability in the region. Several questions remain unanswered. Will the fence effectively address security concerns? What will be the long-term impact on inter-community relations? Can alternative solutions be found to address border crossings and illegal activities? As the project progresses, monitoring its impact on security, communities, and regional dynamics will be crucial. This situation underscores the multifaceted nature of border security and the need for comprehensive strategies that address not just physical barriers, but also the underlying social, political, and economic realities. Only through a holistic approach can lasting peace and stability be achieved. Next, the Chinese stock market's recent 5-year low has triggered a shakeup at the China Securities Regulatory Commission, CSRC, prompting questions about the future of the Chinese economy and its financial markets. On February 7th, Yi Huiman, CSRC's chairman and CCP committee secretary since 2019, was replaced by Wu Qing. This abrupt change likely stems from mounting pressure surrounding the declining stock market and concerns about Yi's ability to stabilize it. Wu boasts varied experience in Shanghai's government and financial sector, including overseeing the Shanghai Stock Exchange, SSE, as party secretary and chairman. This background positions him differently from Yi, whose expertise lies in banking. Moreover, Wu's prior roles overseeing innovation initiatives suggest a potential shift in focus towards reviving the Chinese economy. Some analysts suggest Wu's appointment serves as a scapegoating tactic, deflecting blame from broader economic woes onto Yi's leadership. Others see it as a strategic move, hoping Wu's experience can tackle the market's challenges. Yet, skepticism remains regarding his ability to address deeply rooted issues like the real estate crisis and weak consumer spending. While the initial market reaction to Wu's appointment was positive, long-term concerns persist. underlying economic challenges could continue to drag down the market, potentially jeopardizing Wu's position in the future. This leadership change highlights the delicate state of China's financial markets and broader economy. Addressing systemic issues and fostering investor confidence will be crucial for sustainable growth and stability. The impact of Wu's leadership and the CSRC's direction in navigating these challenges will be closely watched in the coming months and years. Next, we turn our attention to the Pacific. The Compacts of Free Association, COFA, agreements between the United States and three island nations, the Federated States of Micronesia, FSM, Marshall Islands, and Palau, have hit a snag. The U.S. Congress's failure to renew these crucial pacts is creating economic uncertainty for the island nations and potentially opening the door for increased Chinese influence in the region. Let's rewind to 1978. The three island nations chose a unique path, becoming states in free association with the U.S. instead of U.S. territories. This meant self-governance, but with U.S. support in areas like defense and finances. The COFAs, signed in the 1980s, solidified this partnership, providing economic assistance to the islands in exchange for strategic access for the U.S. military. Fast forward to today. The agreements with FSM and Marshall Islands expired in September 2023, leaving them without vital funding. Palau's agreement expires in September 2024, with funding already reduced. This delay in renewal has severe consequences. The island nations struggle to fund basic services, infrastructure, and education. Imagine running a country without a budget. That's the harsh reality they face. This situation also presents a strategic opportunity for China. The island nation's geographical location in the Pacific is crucial. China, seeking to expand its military reach, sees these islands as potential bases just like the U.S. did during World War II. So, how is China leveraging the U.S. delay? They're using various tactics, from influencing politicians to offering economic deals. Recent elections in the Marshall Islands saw pro-China elements attempting to sway voters. Palau's president even warned about Chinese attempts to influence key officials. The island nations themselves are pleading for action. They sent a letter to the U.S. Senate urging the renewal of the COFAs, highlighting the dangers of leaving a vacuum that China can exploit. This situation presents a complex puzzle. The U.S. needs to balance its strategic interests with the well-being of its Pacific allies. Delaying the COFA renewals not only hurts the island nations but also opens doors for China. The question remains, will the U.S. act before it's too late? The Philippines' plans to expand its military presence in Batanes Province, situated near Taiwan, have sparked a stern response from China, highlighting the delicate geopolitical landscape in the region. Let's dive into the key players, their motivations, and the potential implications of this unfolding situation. Batanes sits close to the Bashi Channel, a crucial waterway for Chinese military vessels. Expanding Philippine military presence raises concerns about potential interference with Chinese naval movements, especially in a hypothetical Taiwan conflict. China views Taiwan as a breakaway province and considers any actions aiding its independence a violation of its core interests. The possibility of Batanes being used by the Philippines or allies to support Taiwan is a major concern for Beijing. Chinese Foreign Ministry spokesperson Wang Wenbin warned the Philippines against playing with fire and urged them to tread carefully on the Taiwan issue. This emphasizes China's seriousness and potential for further diplomatic pressure or even economic sanctions. The Philippines seeks to strengthen its territorial defense capabilities, particularly in light of China's growing military assertiveness in the South China Sea. Batanes's strategic location makes it a crucial point for monitoring and potentially deterring Chinese incursions. The Philippines is a U.S. ally, and the Batanes expansion aligns with the Enhanced Defense Cooperation Agreement, EDCA, allowing U.S. military presence in strategic Philippine locations. This cooperation enhances deterrence against potential Chinese aggression. If tensions escalate, the possibility of military clashes in the Bashi Channel or even over Batanes itself cannot be ruled out. This would have serious consequences for regional stability and potentially involve other actors like the U.S. Prolonged diplomatic tensions could hinder cooperation on other crucial issues like trade and investment, impacting both economies negatively. The situation remains fluid, with both sides carefully navigating their positions. While diplomatic channels remain open, The future trajectory depends on the willingness of both China and the Philippines to find common ground and de-escalate tensions. Careful monitoring of the situation and advocating for peaceful dialogue are crucial to avoid further conflict in this strategically sensitive region. This has been the Indo-Pacific Debrief by Atlas News.